Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of January 7th, 2024. Please go to our website, newhopechristianchurch.net, for resources, events, and information about the church. This week's sermon is titled, Generosity, It Takes a Heart Transplant, by Executive Pastor Frank Donato.
Well, we are looking forward to those table groups. Again, you can sign up for that outside here in the Connection Center right after the service. They run for 8 weeks, 6 or 8 weeks, and then we shut it down. So you can commit to that, and we hope that you be a part of that experience on Thursday nights. You can sign up out here. We kind of mixed things up. Blake led worship, and wasn't that neat? This was his daughter, Daisy. This is her first time on stage, and they've been rehearsing, and she's just like her mama, back Kaylin. Daisy's mama is our children's ministry director, and it's just so neat as we bring up the next generation. I'm so glad that you're here. I was praying this morning, Lord, the snow's coming and it's going to be ghost town, but no, you weather the threat of storm over the river and through the woods, the grandmother's house we go. Those type of things, and so we're glad that you're here. Hey, you probably noticed these blue cards. I wanted to put them on as we start the new year. This is our vision on the first page, and our values, and some resources you can find. But on the back side, we put ways to give, and the reason we did that, ever since Duratio, things have changed with our offering. Because we were out of this building for almost a year. Some of the roof got torn off, and just the time for the repairs and finding a construction crew and all those things. And we met, remember, at the Y, and then we were at the movie theater. And during that time, we decided we're not going to pass the offering plate anymore. We're going to go with boxes on the exits. So that's what we've done. We don't pass an offering now, but these are the other ways to give as times change. You can give online, the tithing boxes, and we give through texting. It's really convenient. And so I just want to put down the ways that you can give, and we no longer pass the offering plates. I remember going to church, someone would come up during the offering time, remember that, and they would give an offering meditation. And most of the times, they would go to Luke 6:38. Someone would come up here right before the offering. I want to put it on the screen. And the person giving the offering would say, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And I think the common mistake we think here, when we see that verse, we think that Jesus is talking about only money. He's not talking about only money. He's revealing to the crowds when he was teaching that day a new revealed principle. It applies to every area of our lives. To understand what he's talking about in this text, we have to go to two verses before that, verse 36 and 37. And this is what Jesus is telling the crowd about this. It says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Don't judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and it will be forgiven to you." And he taught us how to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And Jesus was teaching the crowd a new way. He says, "Give and it will be given to you." This not only applies to money, it applies to forgiveness, it applies for mercy. Give and it will be given back to you, to patience, a quality time with your loved ones. It's a rule he's talking about. It's a broad principle about giving. It's not only money. And he says, whatever you give is going to be given back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now, when the crowd heard that, these were farmer terms, and they could resonate. They knew these terms, good measure, pressed down, running together. They were harvest terms. Back then, when they would grow their wheat, there were two sets of harvesters that would harvest the wheat. There were the primary harvesters. They would harvest the middle of the field, and they would be paid hourly, and they would go at it day after day until the harvest is all brought in and the grain is stored. But then a second set of harvesters come in. These were the poor people. These were the disadvantaged. And they knew the Old Testament history, and they understood the Old Testament scripture, because what they did was an Old Testament concept of gleaning. In the Old Testament, God gave his people agricultural laws to the Israelites. It was the principle of gleaning. And we can learn that principle. I'm going to put up from Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24. In Leviticus, this is what they knew. When the wheat is ready to be harvested, he says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. And then as we turn over to Deuteronomy 24, it says this. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheath, a bundle of wheat that you had tied up, if you overlooked one of those, don't go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Jesus, or God, is giving a provision for to take care of the vulnerable. You leave the corners of the field and the stalks that you forgot to gather, you leave them so the poor and the widows and the strangers could pick them up, and they would be taken care of. Now, the farmers were instructed not to harvest the corners of the field or pick up the sheaves. They were to be left alone. It was God's system of taking care of the vulnerable in the community. It was the welfare system for the time. The corners and leftover sheaves, that was for the disadvantaged. That was for the widows. That was for the orphans. It was for the foreigners. Then they could go in and gather so they could also have an existence. If you look at the book of Ruth, that's what the story is. It's an example of gleaning, isn't it? Remember Ruth? She's a widow. She's a foreigner. Jobaz owned the land, but she gleaned the land that was harvested from Jobaz's property, that she could gather grain, and because of Jobab's kindness, it was a significant role in her story. So it's harvest time. It's time to do your thing. The primary harvesters go in. They harvest the middle of the field, and they would fill up the baskets. And then they fill them up, and they bring them to the grain cart and dump them in, and they go back again and fill up the baskets. You see, they were paid hourly. They didn't have to make sure it was overflowing. It was a job, and they were paid by the hour, and they would just dump it into the baskets and begin it again. They were paid by the hour. And they would do it all until the grain was in storage, right? Well, the second harvest was for the poor people in the corners of the field. And they would take their baskets. And they knew they didn't have any carts. They didn't live near the fields. They walked many miles. They knew they had one shot of existence. And so they would gather the grain and put it in. And can you imagine that you were in that type of position? Nowhere you would try to make sure that your basket was as full as humanly possible. They would get one shot. They wouldn't walk away with a basket half measure. They'd walk away with a basket full measure, wouldn't they? And when they gathered the wheat, they would press it in and compress it. And then they'd take some more and compress it in. Then they'd give it a big shake, and they'd do it over and over again. They'd try to eliminate all the airspace possible. And they'd make sure that it was heaped over to the brim and it was spilling out on the sides. And that's what they would go home to. Their basket was full of good measure. It was pressed down and it was shaken together and it was running over. And people understood what that term meant when he's telling this new teaching. It was a concept that was communicated to them that you're going to get a lot in return when you give back to God. It's the principle of giving with God. You always receive more than you can ever give. It'll be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, the whole teaching isn't about what you get. The whole teaching, Jesus says, it's all about what you give. You see, when God comes into your life, when Jesus comes into your life, things start changing. Because God is a generous God. He's going to kind of loosen up the hand grips in your life. It's not your will anymore. You say, God, you're Lord. And you start turning things over to God, and he causes you to have a generous heart. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit. He's asking you now, Frank, I've forgiven you. I want you to now turn around and forgive someone. Can you do that, Frank? Okay, Lord, I'll try to do that. And so he asks you to forgive. You forgive those who can't pay you back. Love to those who deserve it. Give mercy to those who do wrong. Be kind. Give, give, give. So we're going to be going through this whole finance series. I'm the first one off the bench. And we're going to be looking about generosity. And we're going to be looking at the generosity of giving. And before we do, I think the good place to start is we open our Bibles and let's see who God is. Because God is a giving God, amen? God is generous. So I'm going to read some scripture and put down the scripture reference. If you're living in the blues right now, it's winter and it's starting to get to you and you're stuck in the house and it's more cloudy, there's a snowstorm. If you're getting the winter blues, you write this down because you will be energized of the goodness of God. And sometimes we just need a little Red Bull of God, amen? To get us going. So let's go ahead and look at Psalm 103, 2 through 5. 103, 2 through 5. You want to know who God is? The psalmist says, praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Who has forgiven your sins. He's healed all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. You want to know how good God is? He crowned you with love and compassion. You want to know how good God is? He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Another scripture, Psalm 36, 5 through 7. 36, 5 through 7. You read that and meditate about the goodness of God. It says, love the Lord your God. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. That's a long ways. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice is like the great deep. You see how generous God is? And then it goes on. Psalm 145, verse 13. I put this one on the screen. You want to know how good and generous God is to you and me? Without us doing anything, we're so undeserving. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all his deeds. When you start working with the Lord, he's not going to pull a fast one and pull a chair out from under you. That isn't God. He looks after you and he's trustworthy in all of his promises and he's be faithful to you. You can count on God. Want to know how generous God is? Psalm 86, 15. But you, Lord, are compassionate. Aren't you glad that our Lord is compassionate? Can I hear an amen? Amen. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. Oh, thank you, Lord. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. And then it just doesn't stop there. Because when you go into the New Testament, we learn about Jesus. And Jesus comes to earth. And Jesus enters the scene. We saw at Christmas time who Jesus was and his mission. So a Savior is going to be born to you this day. We learned in the Christmas story that you're going to be called him Messiah. He'll be called Emmanuel, which means is God is with us. Jesus loves us so much that he is with us all the time. And he will never leave us or forsake us. And he came to save us from our mess and from our sin. And then you turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. I love Philippians chapter 2. You want to know how much Jesus loves you? It says he entered our world. He emptied himself and became a nature of a servant. He became like human likeness. He understands us. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Another chapter I just love is Ephesians 1. Read through that and write down all the things that Jesus is generous to you in your life and my life. Ephesians 1:3 says, Praise be to God and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing from above. It's been given and it's overflowed. When He blesses us, He blesses you with every spiritual blessing from above. Not some of it. He gives you the... wish it was full. He gives you the whole basket full. Jesus loves us so much, He has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. And not only that, you read on, you want to know how good Jesus is? We are now made holy and blameless in God's sight, all because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are now adopted into sonship. We can enter into God's throne and He will call us. We can call Him Abba, Father. We can call Him Daddy. And we can come through Him, through Jesus Christ, anytime. And we are redeemed through Jesus, through His blood. You know how much Jesus loves you? We have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches that God has lavished on us. And then you read on in Ephesians. I love that chapter. It says, put your hope in Christ, because He's given you a seal, a promise. The Holy Spirit lives in you. When you accept Jesus and you're baptized and you say, Lord, I am all in, just as we experienced Christmas Eve service with someone getting baptized, the Holy Spirit is in us. He's living and breathing in us. We receive the mind of Christ, and the miracle of transformation happens, all because we have the seal and the promise of the Holy Spirit. You want to know how much Jesus loves us? He gives it as a deposit, guaranteeing of our inheritance. And we now have a peace that surpasses all understanding. In this messed up world, we can somehow have peace and contentment because of the Spirit of Christ lives and dwells in us. Isn't God good? And not only that, we can leave and be the church wherever we do life, because now we are made alive in Christ. God's a giver. John 3:16, let's all say it. Ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, God's a giver. And when the Spirit comes in you, He starts to give you a heart transplant. He gives us a properly focused heart. And we start to understand it's all about giving, not receiving. We allow a generous God to do His work in our hearts in the area of giving. It's not getting. So what do we give? We give our time. We give our treasure. And we give our time and talent and treasure. And that's what we do. Giving our time. How can we give our time and talent this year here at New Hope? Well, I want to talk about children's ministry. I got a commercial here. Let's talk about children's ministry. How this year you can give more of your time and your talent. I've been visiting with Kaylin. They're exploding back there. Parents, you're having all these kinds of babies. Good job. Let's have some more. It's wintertime. Yeah. And so we're having all these babies, and it's growing. We do 104 services here a year, and that takes a big team. And I was visiting with Kaylin. What do you need? She says, well, we're growing. We need helpers. We need teachers. We need substitute teachers. And I encourage you to go back there and just feel the energy they have during this hour. We're inviting you to be a part of the team. Now, if you're a teacher or a helper, if you want to be a sub, you can sign up once a month. We actually need people who are willing to go in the nursery and hold babies. I mean, how cool is that? Come on, grandpas. You can hold a baby and take a nap at the same time. It's a great hour. I'm serious. We need grandmas and grandpas back there and parents. We're just asking once a month, and she'll look at your rhythm of life that you can sign up. She'll find your gifting. I mean, even if I learned that sometimes if there's a troubled little child in a little rugrat area there, this tall, we have our granddaughter coming, 4 years old, and you can read them a book. I mean, how difficult is that? I mean, here's a couple of the books. How to Babysit Your Grandpa. How to Babysit Grandma. I mean, you read those books and they love it. We're just asking you, can you give your time and talent? If that's your talent, you're welcome to the team. We want you on the team. You'll be put on the rotation. Good grief, it's not like you're signing up to be a Supreme Court judge and for the rest of your life, okay? And Kaylin will be over here at the Next Steps area after service. Create a conversation, because we can use all of you to give your time and your talent, especially in children's ministry, worship ministry. We need more musicians. If you can sing an alto in a tenor line or play a guitar, please visit with me to use your time and talent. God has given you a special anointed gift, just like King David, and we want you to join our team. Can you give your time and talent? You see where I'm going? Time and talent. Let me show you this picture. Here's the story about Carol White. Carol had a stroke about 2 months ago. Carol was a very critical role in grief share ministry here. And I saw Carol here. She's making it, and she's getting some rehab, but she needed a front porch. And here these guys are here. They're giving their time and their talent. Doug Swenson, Tom Weber, and Ricky Thomas, they were there, and they built this porch. See, they're giving their time and their talents. I can't do that. The only way I can do something like that, build something, is with a cell phone and a checkbook. Okay, that's the only way. I miss that part, that talent. But that's what they do, and they do well. They gave their time and talent. We gave them a phone call. Sure, we can build them a porch. And there they are, giving your time and talent. If you're interested more in that, we're going to be having a membership class here January 28th. If you want to know more about New Hope and the vision that's on this card and how you can get in the game to give your time and talent, you come to this membership class and we will get you plugged in. I want to say this year, do you know how to make God smile? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. You want to know how to God smile? Then have a generous heart. Have a giving heart of your time and talent. You know, when we're first Christian, we have a selfish heart. But God clearly labels selfishness as wicked, and God will change your heart from greedy and selfish takers into grateful and generous givers. I think we were born with a selfish heart. I think babies' first words are no and mine. They're just selfish. And we're selfish, but a loving Heavenly Father comes down on us, and Jesus says, I want to deal with this wicked, selfish heart. I'm going to make you a giver, and you're going to be like me, a reflection of me, and you are going to have a giving heart. And so we give of our time and talent. The third one is giving of our treasure. And during this series, we're going to hear words like tithing. Now, you know my story. When I first became a Christian, I didn't know anything. I knew there was a New Testament. It was pretty fat. And the New Testament was skinny, red letters with Jesus. That's all I knew about the Bible. So I started reading the Bible, and I came up with this word, and I asked my youth leader, what's this word tithing? What does tithing mean? That's a church word, tithing. I didn't know what it meant. It meant tithing. And I had to be taught. Well, that's a biblical concept, but I've done it for years now, but I just didn't know. I really didn't know. I thought it was tithing. This Christmas, my son-in-law, Joseph, and my daughter were here just for a day. We exchanged presents on December 26th, and so we knew that my son-in-law, Joseph, wanted a record player. Okay, he's like 28. He never had a record player. So we bought him a record player, and he was so excited. He ripped open the package, and there was the record player. I said, you know how to use it? No, well, let me teach you how to use the record player. You see this needle here? You never touch it, but when you get a, do you have a record? No, I don't have a record. So he went down December 26th to Walmart and bought a record. And so I had to teach him everything. He just didn't know, right? And you take it out like this, and you hold your finger and touch it on the side. You always touch it on the sides. Never touch it here because you get your fingerprints on them, and you don't ever want that. So I told him how to hold a record, and then how you put it on the center. And this record player plays small records. See that 45? It can play 45 if you do the little insert. But I didn't want to teach him too much in the first session. And so I put him in there, I put it on 33.5 RPM, and then you take the needle and gently place it on the side. And it's neat, Joseph. The record turns and the needle just gets sucked more and more into the center. And then after it's sung, you see those spaces? Every chunk of spaces, that's another song. Oh, this is so cool. And so he picked up the needle and put it down. And at the end of the record, it just kind of bobs back and forth. That's what this big space is. And you take the needle and you put it back in its holder. And then you take the record and you flip it over. And there's a whole new set of songs on the other side. And he was so excited. The only thing is, the only record in Walmart on December 26th was the new Barbie movie soundtrack. He was so excited. And he played it full throttle. And it got played it over and over and over and over and over again. Let me show you a clip I took of that. I love him. He just didn't know. And that was me with tithing. And so we're going to learn about what the concept of tithing. Tithing has to be taught. And I want to say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for your generosity, church. I want to tell you what you have done, because your tithe and offering has been given, it's pressed down, shaken together, how much you have affected people through your generosity, New Hope. I looked at the figures for December. Did you know December, one of our missionaries, Donna and Carol Graham, they've been missionaries here for years. We've done mission trips over to Jamaica. It's the poorest of poorest places. It's a third world country environment, and they've been there for years, and we've supported them for years. They're like family. Well, Carol, the husband, he has cancer. And then we talked with them through the missions committee, and they looked at all the options that there were available in Jamaica for cancer treatment. They finally found a clinic that met their needs, and Cario is going to have chemo treatment, but he needed $10,000. Because of your generosity, I've said before, we take off 14.5% of everything that comes in of your generosity when it goes into that tithing box, or you give online, or however you give. 14.5% goes to missions. We wrote him a check for $10,000 because of your generosity, church. Now, I think I'm going to have to ask to hold out on applause, or it's going to be like your graduation to high school and everybody claps. Let's wait till the very end, okay, before we clap. That's what we did. Way to go, church. Month of December. Also the month of December, remember those shipping crates since Ukraine? Well, one was stuck at the border and finally got through customs, but no one would deliver it and bring it into the war zone. It was full of humanitarian and medical supplies. Well, finally, the drivers didn't want to risk it, and so they charged a higher price to deliver that container. We paid $3,400, and right now that is in Ukraine and in the heart of the place there, and sharing humanitarian and medical supplies. We wrote them a check for $3,400, and you, because you're giving, you're sharing, there's hope, and that's one of our values. There's hope in Jesus. Isn't that cool? Because of your generous giving in the month of December, We wrote a check to the Marshalltown Christian School. They needed supplies. We wrote them a check for $2,000 here locally. And you wonder, well, why would we do that? Because that's our value here. We value healthy families. And we want to get in our community, and we want to pour into Christian couples and families. And this is a way, numerically, through our money, that we can get into the community because we value that healthy families. Did you know the last 3 months, church, you gave, because of your generosity, $13,539 for benevolence. You help people right here. A lot of times during the week, we interview people right out here. David Peterson, our tag teams with Tom Weber, we interview them and see their names. We gave out $13,539 for people in our community so we can share the hope of Jesus. We help them with their power, restore their water. We help them with food and gas cards and rent, basic survival needs for people here so that they know that there's hope, because we are what? New Hope Christian Church. All because of your generosity and your faithfulness. Let's talk about one for one. $3,982. And a little box over there. You got your general tithes and offerings box. Put your tithe there. Everybody puts a buck in. That adds up. We gave out $3,982. The person doesn't have to go to our church. We just show up and say, God loves you and we love you and be blessed. Just that little box there, guys. In the month of December, utility tree, $2,940. You know that ugly little Charlie Brown tree out there with the cards? That's what you gave, $2,940, and that will go to help people that can't help themselves, just like on the Old Testament day in the harvests where they're harvesting in the four corners. We are helping the helpless, and Lord willing, through your tithes and offerings, we will give back to our community. It'll be pressed down, shaken together, running over. Here's another way that, because of your generosity, we can do. I want to show you this picture of diapers. Yes, diapers. This is in the children's ministry, and it's open to all the parents, especially Christmas time. You guys were so busy, you forgot to buy diapers. If you're short on diapers, there's free diapers back there. They're unused, too, so that's the cool part. And if you need diapers, go get a package of diapers back there. If you can't afford it and things are short, that's what we do, church, because of your generosity. We can do things like that. If you know somebody this week that needs diapers, you go back there in the nursery area, grab a pack of diapers, knock on their door and say, hey, you need some diapers? My friend has three kids at home. They're all in diapers. He says, Frank, when those kids grow up and get out of diapers, we're going to be rich. Another is the gift basket ministry. It's just a grab and go. I could go on and on. But Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. You see, you can't ever outgive God. Last thing I want to say, we know some of you families are strangled with debt as you're raising their kids, single mothers and traditional families. I read this week that the credit card debt of the average household is now $6,000. And we know you're strangled with debt. We want to provide you Financial Peace University the end of February, going into March, that you can come up with a plan to start digging out of debt and seeing what God's will in your life is, giving your time and talent and treasures. Dave Ramsey said this, don't worry about if God will bless your tithes and offerings. He might increase your income when you give. He might lower your expenses. God, when you give, might sustain your household appliances and keep them going another year. He might protect your health. He might keep your car out of the shop. You see, God gives more than we can ever give back to him. It's like the old sign on the country road that says, it says, George Jones, veterinarian, taxidermist. Either way, you get your dog back. Don't worry or fret whether God is going to bless you, because God blesses us in his way and his time when we give our time and talent and treasure. So our encouragement to you is to get involved, give it all to God, and for Pete's sake, get in the game, because we are on mission and we've got a lot to accomplish this year. Amen?